Welcome into the Rockies Insider. I'm your host, Patrick Lyons, inside of Coors Field right now, live post-game, talking about this New York Yankees series, one in which the Rockies had an opportunity to win. Would have been their first series victory of the season. Couldn't pull it off. I'll break down all three games in addition to the invasion that was for Yankees fans here at the ballpark. Previewing the Chicago Cubs series as well, the general spectacle of the Yankees being here and going into Sunday of Memorial Day weekend, Rockies had the opportunity for only their third time this season, would have been their first at home, to win a series. If you recall, they won the second game of the season in Tampa. They won the second game last weekend at Arizona, and they won the first game in San Francisco, but that was a four-game series. So this would have been the first opportunity they had to take a series. Alas, they do not get it done. They lose 5-4. They made it interesting at the end, but unfortunately, it was not enough. Rockies have now lost 17 consecutive series to begin the season, extending their franchise record. Not a ton of four-game sets that you could have split just in one against the Giants. There was one against the Phillies, but you got to win two of those games in order to come away with a series split. And their homestand this week coming up is going to be pretty darn tricky. They've got nine against the Cubs, Mets, and the Marlins. Their homestand for this week, they got swept four games by the Phillies. They take one from the Yankees. In fact, manager Aaron Boone was asked about that on Friday before the game about, you know, getting ahead of himself and trying to win all three games, which very much seems like somewhat of an easy effort for a lot of clubs that do come in here now to Coors Field and that do play the Rockies. But just about as many have lost a game as have swept the Rockies. Colorado falls to 1-6 on this homestand. They did have an 0-7 homestand once. This ties for the fifth worst homestand in team history. They're now 9-44, a 170 winning percentage, on pace for 28-134. As I said on Sunday, they made it a little bit interesting in the ninth after the rain delay. You had a leadoff home run by Mickey Moniak, his fourth of the season. There were two singles by Jordan Beck and the number nine hitter, Adiel Amador, who was immediately pinch ran for by Tyler Freeman. So you had runners on first and second with one out. And Ezekiel Tovar expanded the strike zone as he had been really all game. He struck out three times. He was able to foul off a bunch, ultimately ended up flying out to right field, and then Hunter Goodman with the final out of the ball game. That ended up wrapping it up. Yankees won 5-4 to take the series. And in the comments, they're not too positive. This one is the least negative, so I'll go with that one. From Hickster, I was there at the game on Friday. It was very exciting, but we were outnumbered by like 3-1. Friday was probably the least outnumbered game in terms of Yankees fans to Rockies fans. And you definitely heard it a lot more on Saturday. On Sunday, the Yankees fans definitely made their presence known in many, many, many ways. We'll get to this question later on in the show. Who's going to be the next person to come back up? There is an answer. He's not on the 40-man roster yet, but I think there's a strong chance he'll be the next guy up. Not sure what else he has to prove right now in AAA. So that is some good news on the way. Don't know that it's going to change the fate of the Rockies here going forward. Antonio Senzatella, 4 1/3 innings pitched. Now, he came out in that fifth inning. Yeah, he gave up four runs, so certainly not a sharp outing. And he was already had some traffic on the bases after giving up a single to Paul Goldschmidt and then walking Ben Rice with Aaron Judge coming up to the plate. But interesting strategy. I think I agree with manager Warren Schaefer, who said that in that spot, in the top of the fifth inning, it had just started to rain. And we all knew that the rain was coming in around 3 o'clock, maybe a little bit sooner. And that maybe as long as you get five innings into a game, that can be an official game. Now, not immediately, but you get five innings in, and if there is a delay, you wait. And then after about 45 minutes, you can then say, you know what? This rain is not going to pass. So we're going to bag it. We're going to call it here. Both teams can travel and get to their next city. Rockies need to get to Chicago for a day game on Memorial Day. And the Yankees need to go further west to Anaheim for a series against the Angels. But unfortunately, you weren't able to finish that fifth inning. Yankees did go ahead for two. And the strategy by Warren Schaefer, and I agree with it, was, look, this is now at the ninth inning. Because we might be able to finish this frame. We might be able to hold them. We can come back in the bottom of the fifth so that we got an even playing field. Everybody has their five ups. Rain delay. And then they call it. And the Rockies potentially can win. So I think in a different scenario, you probably would have seen Senzatella maybe go a little bit longer. Maybe face Aaron Judge, who he had retired one out of the previous two times. He was one for two. Did have a single in that first at bat. So again, the strategy might have been a little bit different, but Jake Bird comes in, unfortunately, gives up a double to Aaron Judge. That scores two runs. Those get charged to Antonio Senzatella. Intentional walk to Cody Bellinger. Sack fly, that scored another run. Sack fly by Jason Dominguez. And then you had getting out Anthony Volpe was Jimmy Herget, who did a very nice job over two innings. Ryan saying in the chat, team has been losing by a ton, but they do seem to be fighting, playing closer games under Schaefer. Smallest of glass half full observations. Yeah, it's more like a quarter full, but we're going to say that it's full. You kind of have to look at things that way. Yeah, there's been a lot of games where the Rockies have come back late, and unfortunately they've fallen short, and they just don't seem to have that closing factor that they need. Eventually they will have a walk-off win at some point this season. But if you're sitting at home going, they're never going to have a walk-off win at Coors Field, you're not crazy for feeling that way because they just have lacked that little bit of extra oomph that they've needed. And the oomph that they've had the last 2 years, despite losing 100 games, they've got that factor to say, we're at home. We know how good we are. All we got to do is string together a couple hits and we'll make it happen. But right now, with really only the top five in the order producing, and maybe you want to throw Michael Tolia in that conversation at number six, but with Jordan Beck leading off, Ezekiel Tovar, Hunter Goodman, Ryan McMahon, and Brenton Doyle, after that, it does get a little bit quiet. It does get a little bit quiet with the bottom of that order. Mickey Moniak hitting a home run out of the seventh spot, but you don't have quite as many opportunities. And if the bottom of your order is up late in the game, that's really going to squash the hopes that you're going to have. Felix in the chat saying, we need that guy to make that hit, that clutch hit. And yeah, unfortunately, they've been getting some, but they need more. They're getting late into these games behind by five or six runs. I was looking at some of the numbers with Noah Spyrick of Blake Street Banner, and I think the Rockies have two victories this year where they've trailed after the sixth, and only one victory where they've trailed after the seventh inning. And I think that was the Arizona game where they scored four runs in the eighth. So that was the one time they came from behind. That was a good one. It was late. Sure, it wasn't in the ninth inning, but you get to that ninth and they've yet to win a ball game trailing into the ninth. Jordan Beck played well. He had his fourth multi-hit outing of the season. Actually his fourth hit of the season on the first pitch of the game. He's now slashing .340 with an on-base percentage just under .400, slugging percentage over .700 in 11 games, now batting leadoff. That's really positive. Senzatella, I should also note, is one of 11 Rockies pitchers to allow four earned runs and at least six consecutive starts. First to do it since his own six-start stretch back in 2019. He is now 1-9 on the season. Tovar, again, positive, three strikeouts today, not great, but he is batting .457 since coming off the injured list with that left hip contusion on May 16th. So you get him going and you do have the top five in the order that can do some damage together. They just need more guys doing it. They need more guys doing it. Did have an hour 46 rain delay. So even if you just look at your weather app on your phone, which isn't always the most scientific, it pretty much said, yeah, it was going to rain for 2 hours. It did. We were able to get the game in. It was strange at one point in the fourth inning where there was an announcement made that the upper deck and rock pile needs to be cleared because there was lightning in the area, and yet they continued to play the game. while the innocent saying Doyle hit the ball hard late today. He did. He has been playing a lot better. It does seem to be. Did strike out his first two, but then had a double in the sixth, RBI double, in fact, had himself a walk, a stolen base, I believe, on Saturday. So he has been playing a lot better, feeling good in that number five spot in the order and doing it with not a ton of protection. That is one of the biggest things that is going to plague the Rockies, I think, and plague some of their younger players. I've said it before, when you've got really good players hitting behind you, that's going to make your job a little easier and you can take another step up. You can make certain improvements when you're seeing better pitches because the opposing pitcher is afraid of the guy that's on deck. And when you've got somebody on deck that the pitcher would rather face than you, then it's going to be harder for you to make certain advancements. So Ezekiel Tovar and Brenton Doyle, yeah, they've been improving the last 2 years and they made major strides in 2024. How much are they going to be able to take a major stride forward in 2025 if they're not getting the same lineup protection because the team is just playing that unfortunate, right? So that's just one of those storylines to stay focused on. Saturday's loss was pretty rough, 13-1, 10 runs coming in that fifth inning. It's the first time that the Rockies had allowed 10 runs in an inning since allowing 10 runs on March 28th, 2024. What was that? That was opening day in Arizona against the Diamondbacks, and Kyle Freeland was also the starting pitcher in that game. Freeland tagged with his seventh losing decision of the season. He fell to 0-7 while opposing starter Max Fried went to 7-0. Third loss of the month for Freeland. He's had a streak of 8 straight losing decisions dating back to 2024, second longest such streak of his career. 21 hits by the Yankees. Last time the Rockies gave up 21 hits was the 21-0 loss to the Padres the day before Bud Black was fired. 6 of the 9 players in the Yankees starting lineup had multiple hits, including a season-high 3 hits from DJ LeMahieu, who was back playing second base. Now, last time that LeMahieu came to town with the Yankees in 2023, he was playing third base for them. So this was a nice reminder of LeMahieu and the gold gloves, the 4 gold gloves that he won at second base with the Colorado Rockies. He sat down and spoke with Denver media on Friday. If you want to see that entire scrum, I think I put the whole thing up. There were clips plenty all over the place on social media at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB. But if you want to see that full scrum with DJ LeMahieu saying, quote, "I think I made the right decision in terms of leaving the Rockies in 2018 and going to the Yankees." LeMahieu also talking about some of his favorite memories with this team. And he didn't just go right to 2017 to 2018. He said playing with Todd Helton, which was fantastic. He talked about, you know, Tulowitzki. There were a couple of years where it was Tulo and DJ LeMahieu at second base, turning double plays for the Rockies as they continued to get better, which he acknowledged. And they got close in 2016, fell short, and then 17 and 18, finally breaking through. I asked him about that wild card game at Wrigley, and he said, you know what? Just the other day, I was telling someone about that grind that they had at the end of 2018, where they're at Coors Field, they got to win the final day. They do. I think it was against the Nationals that they had won. Then they fly to Los Angeles for game 163. Unfortunately, they lose that. They go to Wrigley for the wild card game the next day, win, and then they got to go to Milwaukee after that. So a whirlwind end to the 2018 season that DJ LeMahieu certainly has not forgotten. So love being back at Coors Field. Love seeing a lot of the personnel, some of his former teammates. Not a ton, really, just Ryan McMahon and the three pitchers. You can also see a photograph over on social media of him catching up with Jordan Pacheco. They played together from 2012 to 2014. Pacheco, now the co-hitting coach of the Rockies. But that was a rough one where you definitely got the sense that there was about 80% fans in the building. Max Fried got a standing ovation from not just the people behind the dugout. It was from a lot of people. That's how many Yankees fans were there. He went 7 1/3 innings pitched. He was out there for 2.5 hours pitching. Every time he would come out, I'd say, oh yeah, that's right. He's still in the game. His pitch count didn't get up very high. I think he only threw like 83 pitches. So eighth quality start of the season for him, goes to 7-0, 1.29 ERA, believe it or not, the lowest ERA by a Yankees starting pitcher in their first 11 starts to begin a season since, well, the invention of the earned run, which was in 1913. I did not know 1913 was when the earned run was created. He also picked off two runners, which really hurt the Rockies early on in the game when it was close, when it was 1-0 and then 1-1, Rockies tying it up. First Yankee starter to have two pickoffs in a game since 2018, Masahiro Tanaka. So he was supported in a big way. And then there was a, not gonna say it was a controversial play, but it was a play that a lot of people had opinions on. It was Paul Goldschmidt's RBI single where Adiel Amador sort of leapt in the air at a ball that was about 10 feet over his head, and his gloves seemed to have come off. Now, he said that his gloves slipped off his hand. He does wear a looser mitt, according to him. I didn't speak with him directly after the game, but according to the pool of reporters that did speak with him on Saturday, wears his glove looser, and the ball and his glove sort of went up in the air towards the baseball unintentionally. I do know a lot of people that witnessed it live. I was there watching it live, but I didn't notice his glove going in the air at the time, but a lot of people thought that it was intentional. You be the judge, but according to Adiel Amador, he was not intending to throw his glove at the ball. Did start again on Sunday, so perhaps the Rockies also believe that that was absolutely unintentional. We had on Friday was the big one. Let's spend a little time on Friday's game. 3-2 win. Rockies snapped their fifth five-game losing streak or more of the season. Believe it or not, they're already towards the top of most five-game losing streaks in a single season. In 93, 2012, and 2014, they had six different five-game losing streaks. And in 2024, I think they had, or was it 2023? They had seven five-game losing streaks. They've lost two in a row right now, and if they get swept by the Cubs at Wrigley, that will already be their sixth. But incredible game. It was their sixth come-from-behind win in 2025. The game cruised along. I think it was like 2 hours and 17 minutes, 2 hours and 20 minutes. It was fast. It was intense. It very much reminded me, I don't want to say it reminded me of games from 2018. It did, because there were games in 2018 where every single game was electric. Every single game, you believe that the Rockies were going to come back if they didn't already have a lead. And if they ended up blowing that lead, they were going to come back. And they did that time and time again in 2018. I don't want to say it reminded me of 2018, because there have been other times in which the Rockies have played well at home and played consistent baseball, and you felt that, you know what, they've got enough momentum going, and the opposing team is a little bit suspect. I think they're going to come back and win this ball game. It hasn't felt like they're going to do that at all yet this year. So Friday was the first time that it felt like a big game. Some people, even in the Rockies clubhouse, said, hey, this is the Rockies World Series. And in some ways, it's certainly true. Felix, thank you for your comment. I appreciate that. Doing what I can for the Rockies community to keep you guys up to date on what's going on with this organization. But got to tip your cap to Tanner Gordon. You got to tip your cap to the entire team, because it was really a complete game. I've said it before. There's four legs to the stool, and you have to have all facets. You have to have all legs of that stool strong, because when one of them lets up, the other three have not been able to withhold that weight.
You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.
Those good teams will win those games with only three legs to their stool. And the Rockies have not been able to do that. But Tanner Gordon set the tone. He was excellent. Six innings pitched, two runs, earns his first career win against the Yankees. Yankees fans going crazy, thinking the fact that the Rockies got their ninth win against them. They're trying to do some things over in the American League East, and the Rockies thwarted them with that win on Friday. The bullpen was great. Three scoreless from Jake Bird, Seth Halverson, and Zach Agnos, who got the save. And Seth Halverson, how about this stat? How about this stat? Aaron Judge saw the two fastest pitches he's seen in all of 2025 from Seth Halverson. There was a 100.9 mile per hour fastball that Judge was able to foul off, and there was a 101.9, just a hair under 102 miles an hour against Aaron Judge, which he hit into a double play. Tovar picked it up, touched the bag himself, fired over to first base. Electric moment in the ballpark. The offense wasn't great, but it was pretty good. Kyle Farmer had two hits. Looked like maybe he was auditioning for the Yankees and for a contender out there to say, hey, come rescue me off this sinking ship. You had Ryan McMahon with two RBI. He's now been playing great in the month of May. He entered Sunday over the course of 21 games with a 994 OPS, four doubles, a triple, four home run, and 10 RBI. And then on defense, it was McMahon again with a barehanded play in the ninth. Adiel Amador turned two. He had a couple really good plays, and Tovar again with that double play against Judge. And it was a major upset, literally a major upset for the Rockies with the 3-2 win on Friday. Per Elias, tonight, the victory on Friday night, per Elias, the Rockies had a 160 winning percentage. They get the win over the Yankees at 6-12. It tied for the second largest winning percentage disparity for a team at least 50 games into the season in the expansion era. That was a major upset. Any team can beat any team in baseball, but we have yet to see a team as bad as the Rockies beat a team as good as the Yankees have been this season. So that was an exciting one on Friday for sure. Hickster saying Tanner Gordon was a dog. He's been impressive this year. He did some good things last year. I think him and Bradley Blaylock both, I'm not going to say impressed, but showed that, okay, these guys could be big league pitchers. Let's see more from them. I like what I've seen out of Tanner Gordon. He's going to end up staying in the rotation. He should start later this week. I'll tell you why in just a moment. Mile High Minute saying the win on Friday did almost feel like a playoff win. I mean, it did. There's the win. The victories are few and far between, unfortunately, right now for the Rockies. But to do it to the Yankees with a very pro-Yankee crowd, and even with the Yankee fans getting louder and louder as the weekend went on, to go back and know that you thwarted them a little bit on Friday, I think is pretty sweet, to say the least. Let's talk about this Cubs series coming up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's sort of a reverse series. Normally, you have a day game as your getaway day and the final game of a series, and a night games to start the series. I think it's starting to rain again here at Coors Field, if you can see behind me. But no, it's a day game on Memorial Day, 1:20 Central Standard Time, but 12:20 when you watch on Rockies TV. Lefty Carson Palmquist gets the start against Jameson Taillon. Tuesday at 6:05, Herman Marquez against Cade Horton. I think that's his third start, the rookie fireballer. And then on Wednesday night, it will be Tanner Gordon against lefty Matthew Boyd. So two rookie starters against the Cubbies in this series. Cubs wrapped up a seven-day, six-game road trip going 4-2. They won the series against the Reds on Sunday, so they're feeling good. They're two games ahead of second-place Cardinals, who swept the Diamondbacks over the weekend. Did you see that Nolan Arenado net catch? Arenado already has a tarp play. Now he has a net catch. Came off, really looked like he might have jacked his back up, but he ended up staying in that game. It was only the ninth. It was earlier in the game. Would he have come out? Don't know. Hopefully he is okay. But the Cubs, 14-8 right now in the month of May. And a player that you're probably not too excited to see is Justin Turner. On Saturday, he became the oldest Cub to hit a home run in a game since Gary Gaetti did it back in 1999. Turner at 40 years, 182 days old. We haven't had a player at age 40 or older a homer in the big since Miguel Cabrera did it back in 2023. Turner also one homer away from his 200th career long ball. Is that going to come against the Rockies? Probably. He's also among the major league hitters with at least 80 plate appearances this season. He leads in pitches seen per plate appearances, so he will more likely than not provide a lot of headaches. JDF in SD, any predictions on when Veen's getting back? He's struggling a little bit right now in Albuquerque, so he's got to work on a couple things. Not sure that the Rockies have a place for him right now in their outfield. Doyle's entrenched in center, Beck entrenched in left, and they like the options that they've been able to get out of Martini, Freeman, who's been playing right field a lot more, along with Mickey Moniak, who did homer on Sunday. We've got Carson Palmquist, as I said, starting on Memorial Day on Monday. He's going to have his hands full with Kyle Tucker and Pete Crow Armstrong. Tucker is tied for the second most left-on-left home runs in the majors, and Pete Crow Armstrong is tied for six. He's got three of those. So Tucker ranks fourth in terms of batting average against lefties. So that will certainly be a challenge for Palmquist. Interested to see how the defense is going to fare at Wrigley last year, if you remember. Really bad during that second series of the season. Everyone was pressing after starting off so poorly against the Diamondbacks. But the Cubs put the ball in play a lot. So they will be applying pressure to the Rockies and their defense. Cubs hitters have combined for a 20% strikeout rate this season. Good for fourth lowest in the NL and seventh lowest in the majors. 420 strikeouts, tied for the sixth lowest in the National League. So the pressure will be placed upon this Rockies defense. Finally, as I said, the Rockies, they're making that late noise. Some of you have pointed it out over on the chat on the Rockies Insider channel on YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed to that so you can get notifications when I do go live. But the Cubs bullpen is really good right now, so it's going to be a lot harder for them to make those late inning surges. Cubs in the last nine games going back to May 14th posted the lowest ERA in the NL, 1.44 ERA. And Drew Pomeranz, the hardcores out there know. The hardcores out there know Drew Pomeranz's name. Came over from Cleveland, the Ubaldo Jimenez trade. Came up less than 2 years, I believe, after he was drafted, originally drafted by Cleveland. But still, former Rocky Drew Pomeranz, where it looked like maybe he was done, made the team as a non-roster invite. He's held opponents scoreless in all of his last 12 outings this season. He's been great. He's been absolutely great. Reach out at Patrick D. Lyons or at Patrick D. Lyons MLB. Rockies Insider over on YouTube. Approaching 400 viewers. Not bad for a first year, but appreciate all the support. Appreciate the momentum you have provided me in the chat. But that momentum, unfortunately, as I like to say, it's only as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you then.